Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's November 22nd, 1718, and another remarkable event is about to be uncovered by Aria, Rebecca, and Ollie, the Retrospectors.
The more lurid accounts of the death of the infamous pirate Blackbeard, who was killed today in history in 1718, document every cut and thrust of his final battle. But the man who was actually responsible for tracking him down and killing him, the British naval lieutenant Robert Maynard, recorded the event rather more prosaically, writing simply, "He fell with 5 shots in him and 20 dismal cuts in several parts of his body."
Yeah, and then he decapitated him. Don't miss
that's
bit.
True.
I mean,
yeah.
I know the man wrote pragmatically and not romantically, but he did then follow up with, "I have cut Blackbeard's head off, which I've put on my bowsprit in order to carry it to Virginia."
Well, you know, he did it for a reason. He did it so that they could take it off that spike and put it on a different spike, this one at the entrance to Chesapeake Bay, to act as a warning to other pirates.
Yes.
Although I'm sure pirates were aware of what would happen if they were captured. I mean, this probably yeah. wasn't news to the vast majority of them.
Though, I guess he was a particularly big catch because he was pretty much the greatest pirate of the so-called golden era of piracy. We don't really know very much about Blackbeard, whose real name was Edward Teach, before his rise to becoming a pirate captain. It's thought that he began his life at sea, at least, as a British privateer in the War of Spanish Succession.
Yeah, but it is interesting, isn't it? Like, his reputation as this sort of fearsome, gratuitous, demonic murderer is probably exaggerated, because most contemporary sources don't describe him as particularly unfair or brutal for a pirate, but also only on the last 2 years of his life, basically. I mean, you know, like Julian Fellowes, he only created his most evil works towards the end of his career.
And almost all of what we know about Blackbeard, or think we know about Blackbeard, comes from one source, the 1724 book, A General History of the Pirates, by Captain Charles Johnson, who is probably a pseudonym. I think we talked about this a bit in our Mary Read and Bonnie episode. Possibly an alias for Daniel Defoe. And he claimed lots of things about Edward Teach, who may not even have been called Edward Teach. There's lots of different records that gave his name as Thatch or Tack. And pirates often used a fake name anyway, so maybe none of them. The thing is that this particular book, the account is hardly laden with footnotes. It's very much a colourful history of pirates. And almost all of it could have been an invention, frankly.
Yeah. I mean, it is worth recording some of the stuff that at least is said about what was so daunting about Blackbeard's appearance, because as well as this enormous black beard, which went down to his waist, he was also known for lighting fuses in his hair to give him this kind of crazed appearance of a person with his head on fire. So, you know, that at least is the image that his biographers gave to him. But even people who have subsequently tried to reappraise
/ rationalize
and rationalize it, they tend to say that this whole sort of swaggering mercilessness was a cultivated image that was designed to be a part of his arsenal of psychological warfare, that really meant that even before he had to do any fighting or cutlassing of his victims, the battle was won. You know, that people knew of him before he even got on their ship, and so he didn't actually have to do too much
destruction. So you just give everything up. Not much plundering needed.
Get your booty
and be off. Take whatever you want, mate. I'm off.
Really, when it came down to how he actually acted, it seems like for a pirate, he was pretty, you know, I don't want to say nice. I'm not going to be a Blackbeard apologist, but he was certainly very orderly. He had a very professional attitude.
Professional is the word, yes.
Yeah. Yes. He when
clinical.
Yes, when he raided a ship, because this is the other thing. He had so much firepower and so much manpower at his disposal. He basically had sort of a miniature fleet. At his peak, he had his flagship was called the Queen Anne's Revenge. It had 40 guns and could hold 300 men. And then on the side of that, he had other ships as well under the command of sort of, you know, sub-pirates working for him. So he had so much power that he was able to, he would corner the ship, he would disembark the defeated crew, Then he would empty the hold and then burn or scuttle the ship. And then he would send the defeated crew away. Sometimes he would give them a sloop. Mm. You know, he was very orderly, very professional. 10 out of 10 would be raided by again.
No notes, kind of pirate. Yeah.
His first major act really was seizing the Revenge, that boat you talk about, from the so-called gentleman pirate, sometimes called the worst pirate of all time, Stede Bonnet. Now, Stede Bonnet was this bloke who, you look at why people say he was such a terrible pirate. One of the things he did that was apparently so awful was he paid his crew wages. But this is unheard of in pirate circles. And everyone from the captain down regarded him as a wuss, essentially,
yeah.
Who didn't trust his own pirates to reap their rewards from the treasures they plundered. And so they didn't respect him. They thought he was weak. And they, when they encountered Blackbeard for the first time, invited him to be their new captain. And even Bonnet himself kind of conceded to this idea, okay, you're a better pirate than me, you can lead my ship and I'll stay on board as like your deputy.
Well, that was actually, slightly confusingly, that was a different boat in the fleet. This was a sloop that was called the Revenge.
Oh,
the
okay.
Queen Anne's Revenge was sort of like, I mean, I probably would have chosen a different name if it was
There's
my
flotilla. There's a lot of vengeance in pirate vernacular.
If I already had one called Revenge, yeah, I'd probably call it something different, but still. The Queen Anne's
Just
Revenge
Queen
was...
Just Queen Anne, be nice, wouldn't it?
That's nice, yeah.
It was absolutely...
Too nice. I mean, you'd get rumbled by your sailors in no time, pirate man.
Well, it could have been a really great story for reappraising Blackbeard because the Queen Anne's Revenge started life as La Concorde, a French slave ship. Mm. That he captured. Mm. He sent the crew off on one of the sloops. He dumped the slave cargo in the Grenadines. And sadly, they were recaptured because the crew sailed off, got help, and were like, we've got to go back and get all of these slaves again. So unfortunately for the people on board, they were put back into slavery. But by this point, Blackbeard had sailed away in this. It was a brigantine, which is a two-masted ship. So this is like a very large ship we're talking about here as well. This is like a proper pirate ship.
Yes, and eventually he set up his base in a place called Ocracoke, which is near North Carolina's major shipping lanes. And the idea was that he could just kind of loot ships as they passed by. So strategically useful for him. But by the time that we're actually recalling here, the time of his death, he'd been semi-retired for a while by now.
Well, he was a bit like a Hollywood cop coming out of retirement for one last case, wasn't
right.
he? Like, he kept getting approached. People were like, you're the best, Blackbeard. Well, come and do a bit of pirating yeah. with me.
And I think it didn't help that he'd started to move some of his piratical activities to the land. You know, what happened at sea in a way was kind of out of a lot of jurisdictions, and a lot of it was happening around what is now the Bahamas, specifically New Providence, which was seen as the hotbed of piracy. And then in mid-1718, Blackbeard's flotilla anchored along the shoals outside Charlestown in South Carolina, and they blockaded the port. They literally sat outside of the town and just picked on all the passing ships. Mm. And then they realized that the crew were in need of medical supplies. So they stopped a boat that was sailing out of Charlestown. They kidnapped several citizens and held them hostage until they received the medical supplies. So, you know, all this piracy was starting to get a bit landy for people's liking.
He was also just like letting it go to his head a bit, what he'd be able to get away with, I think. Because once you've got the fearsome reputation, you kind of double down, don't you? So there was this moment when King George I, supposedly technically in control, obviously at that point of what is now Carolina, had pledged to pardon pirates who turned themselves in. So seemingly to take advantage of that, he said to Bonnet, worst pirate of all time, hey, let's go and turn ourselves in. And then whilst Bonnet was ashore, he double-crossed him, looted his ship, and marooned most of his crew on an island with no food or water. I mean, that's
Bonnet's
just unnecessary.
Bonnet's such a freaking wet blanket. He's like, yeah, okay, good idea, Blackbeard. He's like, okay, you go first.
Yeah. But the other thing Blackbeard was planning at this time was he was going to build a fortress at the Ocracoke Inlet, and the news filtered back to Virginia's governor, Alexander Spotswood, and he enlisted this British naval lieutenant, Robert Maynard, and he was tipped off that Blackbeard and his men were moored in Ocracoke, but because he had to go into this inlet to confront them, he wasn't able to take a massive British man of war, say, but he had to go on his tiny sloops.
Yeah, and Blackbeard had about 20 crewmen with him at this point. They opened fire with their cannon, killing or wounding one third of Maynard's men and putting one of his sloops, the Ranger, out of action, which only left the ship that Maynard was on, which was the Jane.
But Maynard strategically decided to order most of his men to stay below decks. So Blackbeard thought that he'd killed them all when he'd only killed one third of them. And in fact, when they got close, According to Maynard's own account, Blackbeard, quote, drank damnation to me and my men, whom he styled snivelling puppies. He thinks he's got time to propose a toast to them whilst they're threatening his life. That's pretty badass, right? But he's misjudged it because they're actually underneath. And then, ha-ha, no, close combat fighting for 6 minutes, muskets in faces, gunpowder going off, carnage.
Yeah, and Blackbeard's men threw down handmade grenades onto the Jane, and then they whirled out their grappling hooks, and they all came bursting out of the hold where he had cleverly instructed them to hide. And yeah, it was all over in 6 minutes, which actually seems short, but when I think about it, that's probably a really long time to be fighting with cutlasses on a ship.
But even that wasn't the true end of Blackbeard, as we all know from the 1968 Disney movie Blackbeard's Ghost, starring Peter Ustinov.
Tomorrow.
It's like an individual iPod experience, but tethered to the wall because it was absolutely massive.
Ditch the ads and get a Sunday episode when you join Club Retrospectors. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts,
part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.